travel is searching, and home has been found. I'm not stopping.
The time is upon us. Terminator Dark Fate. The review. Or at least our review here on the Jibber Jabber podcast. J-Mac, how are you doing?
I'm very good, Sunshine. Just got in from work, so I'm obviously feeling fresh as a daisy. Nah, I'm actually okay. I get used to this back shift stuff. It's I think every shift's got its pros and cons, but I think back shift might be my favourite of a bad bunch.
Perfect. Well, on that note, we switch gears, and we shall be talking about The Terminator Dark Fate. And we went to see it recently in the cinema together, like a wee mandate.
Yeah, this is the first time it's just been the two of us. We've only seen one film before together, and that was The Predator, but we also had a third. This is the first time we've done it ourselves as the Jibber Jabber duo.
That's right. And it was good, because at certain points during the movie, we just kept looking at each other and doing the old "what, can you believe it, can you believe it?" So this episode is really just a bonus show for you guys on the Jibber Jabber community, where we asked you guys to tell us what you thought of Terminator Dark Fate, and we're going to tell you exactly what we thought. But before we do that, we must let you guys know that if you fancy buying any cool merch, any good mugs that have movie stuff on it, like all the coolest stuff that you would Google when you go to find something that you love related to your favorite movie, head to truffleshuffle.com and use our special discount code JIBJIBJAB. JIBJAB. Will we ever get to do any of these where I just don't screw it up? JIBJAB. So JIBJAB 15 for 15% off of all your coolest threads. J-Mac, you try it.
You want me to try it? You want me to try and do the wee promo? Using the promo code JIBJAB15, you will get 15% off not just your first order, every order you make from truffleshuffle.com. They have everything from mugs to t-shirts to keyrings, probably. You guys check it out. They've got some cool stuff. I mean, never-ending story to Star Wars, Terminator to Thundercats. I hope I'm not lying.
I think my one was better.
Oh, go and suck a fanny.
We shall let you guys decide whose ad for truffleshuffle.com was the greatest there. But aside from that, just make sure you head to truffleshuffle.com and use our discount code JIBJAB15 when you want to get 15% off of anything on that website. So, the time is upon us. Terminator Dark Fate is out. It's a flop, mind you, or so it's been reported.
Ever so slightly. The floppiness of this film is pretty fucking floppy. I think this is a $200 million film.
The budget was £185 million.
Pounds or dollars?
Dollars.
Right, so that's about £184.5 million because of what the fucking Tories have done to this economy. But there's another story. Yeah, so it's nearly $200 million, and it's not made anywhere near that yet.
No,
that's pretty bad. It's been out for well over a week.
It's gross globally. It was $129 million.
Do you know that's actually depressing?
Do you know what's funny? You know, before Terminator was released, James Cameron was all over the media saying how, yeah, I had my fingers right in about this, right? But then. But then once the movie came out and flopped, he's like, yeah, this is pretty much just Tim's this is Tim's piece.
Is it?
so yeah, James Cameron's kind of being a bit like, you're right, okay, this wasn't mine.
Yeah. Before the film came out, he was like, oh yeah, I've been very kind of very highly involved in the editing. I've been highly involved in writing, blah 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 blah. I know a lot about this universe. This is Tim's movie, but there's a lot of me in here. Then it flopped, and he's like, it's fucking Tim's.
He fucking done it.
Fucking look at me for. He started it.
yeah, he done it.
It's like he's trying to talk his way out of getting kicked out of a nightclub. It's fucking hilarious, man.
Yeah. What a shame. What a shame. So the first part of this episode, we will talk about the movie without handing you any spoilers. But we imagine that you've seen the movie by now, and that's why you're listening, because half of you have given us your thoughts on the movie. But we will take that in the next part of the show. So for anybody that's not seen the show, So for anybody that's not seen the movie, you're in for a treat of such. Now, I kind of look at it this way, J-Mac, okay? So because Terminator was rebooted from T2, right? So it's a given that Terminator and Terminator 2 Judgment Day are solid. They are the wall of Terminator, right?
Absolutely. Yep.
So any brick that you add to that is optional. So you can go, this is how I look at it, this is how I save myself. You can go the T3 route, or you can go the Dark Fate route. And even when you go the T3 route, you can still kind of accept Genesis and Salvation as part of that kind of that road. But if you go the other way, it ends with Dark Fate, right?
Mm-hmm.
What route did you go?
Me, personally?
Mm-hmm.
I enjoyed Dark Fate a fuck ton more than I enjoyed Terminator 3.
Nah! I disagree.
No. All you did was ask me what I preferred. That's all. So, let's move from there.
Well, elaborate why there it is, right? So, to the guys listening at home, the guys and girls, right? Why would you go down the Dark Fate route without giving anything away, as opposed to accepting Terminator 3 as the true sequel?
Well, the first problem is the fact that Terminator and Terminator 2 were made for adults, grown-ups. And then Terminator 3 came out, and it got 12'd, for want of a better expression. And that's the first mistake you can make with any franchise, is to 12 it. I mean, if you... Honestly, the frustration that I feel towards anything that gets 12'd, that should be at least a 15, it does my fucking box in. And I was worried they were going to do it with Rambo. I really was worried they were going to do it with Rambo, but they went completely the opposite direction. Thank fuck for that. I've still to see it, but if you look at The Expendables, The Expendables was excellent. It was well, as an artistic product goes, it's fucking awful, but it's such good fun, and it's just blood everywhere. It's crazy. It's every 80s action movie you've ever wanted shoved into one thing. Expendables 2 was still pretty good. It was a 15. It was slightly more kind of toned down. Expendables 3, I think I can smell shite.
Right, well.
So don't 12 an adult film. It's just going to come back and bite you. You might think it's a good idea at the time just to make money, but the people that actually like movies are going to see right through it. And that's what Terminator 3 was. Terminator Salvation didn't have to be a Terminator film.
Kind of right, I like how you stole that. That's literally the thing I say about it every time we talk about it.
Oh, did I steal something of yours, Kevin? Sorry about that.
It didn't have to be a Terminator film. True.
No. And it, like, similar to Total Recall, they could have just called it something completely different and it would still have been a decent enough film in its own
merit. You mean the Total Recall remake?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then you had Genesis. Now, much kind of against the grain, I don't normally go against the grain. I tend to just go with the flow in life, but kind of going against the grain, I quite liked Genesis. I liked the nods it had to the original two films. I like the kind of updated reshoots of scenes from the first one that they put into the.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was pretty cool.
Like, I'm old, not obsolete.
What I liked about it was the fact that it kind of paid an homage to Bill Paxton without CGI in him or just using the same footage over and over again. I actually liked that. I don't think Genesis was a bad film, but I don't think it was good either. Dark Fate was better than all of them. It really was.
Well, see, it's hard to say that. And if you're talking about Terminator Salvation, right? Terminator Salvation was a good movie if it stood alone. Right?
Yeah. Sorry, I've contradicted myself there because that I think Salvation was a better film than Dark Fate, but again,
just didn't need to be a Terminator movie.
Aye, and that's where you have to stay within the universe and mythology properly to for it to feel right. And I don't know, man. I think it was too dark. Ironically enough, because new one's called Dark Fate. I think Salvation was just too bleak. The entire film was too bleak. Mm. If you look at if you look at Terminator 2 in particular, a lot of the film is in daylight.
Yeah.
Terminator 1 was dark, but mainly because they couldn't get permits to shoot anywhere and they had to do everything on the fly. That's why everything's at nighttime in Terminator. There's only like a couple of daytime scenes, and it's because they stole them. Like the whole him punching through the car window, that scene was like filmed like one take. Let's get this done. Let's get the fuck out of here before the police come. Terminator 2 obviously had money. There's so much of that film takes place during the day, and it just doesn't feel as kind of heavy. Salvation, because of the kind of post-apocalyptic setting, it just feels bleak from start to finish. There's no, and I don't really remember any kind of comedy relief. If you've got a film that's like that, it needs comedy relief. Comic relief. It needs comic relief to kind of break you away from that every now and again. Anton Yelchin maybe gave a bit of that every now and again, but it wasn't enough to actually keep me too vested in it. Again, not a bad film, just didn't have to be a Terminator film. Terminator 3, I know I'm jumping back and forward a bit here, but even when I seen Terminator 3 for the first time when it came out, which was when, 2003 maybe, at this point?
It was 2003, yeah.
2003. So I would have been 18, maybe, 19.
Wow.
At a push. And even then I was like, this is shite.
Nah. I quite enjoyed it because for me, it was the first time I got to see another Terminator movie. Like I never seen the release of a Terminator movie because I was not alive. I was too young when the original Terminators were released. So when I was in the cinema seeing something like Johnny English, and I'm sitting there and I've been a lifelong Terminator fan of the first two, because there was only two when I grew up. And I'm sitting there and all I see is like a big Terminator. It was one of those teasers in the and then they started playing the Terminator theme song. I was sitting there like, I'd say like a child, but I was a child. Oh man, that's one of the greatest memories is sitting watching that teaser in the big screen of another Terminator movie. And I'd only ever had two. Do you know what I mean?
That was a thrill for me as well. Don't get me wrong. I mean, the fact that I was in the cinema watching a Terminator film, because I hadn't seen any in the cinema before that. Mm-hmm. I mean, Terminator 2 was the first kind of grown-up VHS I ever owned. I think I got it for my 7th or 8th birthday, which is quite fucked up. But I also got my first pair of nunchucks for my 10th birthday. Pardon me. So, you were saying?
Yes, I was just basically saying that everybody dislikes the Terminator 3 movie, right? It seems to be the most hated upon. But for me, I was growing up watching Terminator 1 and 2 on a VHS, a double feature. The first one would finish and then you'd have to wait till all the credits finish. Then the second one would start. And I bought that at a car boot sale. And it was like my most treasured VHS. So for me, going to see something like Johnny English in the cinema, and then there it is, you know, the teaser spot on the trailers for Terminator 3 Rise of the Machines. I just thought, yes! So I saw it when I was a child, pretty much, you know, and I just thought, okay, this Christina Loken's all right, the TX model of the bad guy, the bad girl. And again, before the world got all, we must change genders to female to show that female are strong. Terminator has always been badass for women. killers, women heroes.
I've just thought of a moment for that film that totally dates it. Remember, oh, remember when she dials into the internet and she goes...
I do, yeah. Even the mobile phone.
Talk to the hand. Oh my God, remember that shit? You'd have been at school when that was going on. You would have been at school when that talk to the hand shit was happening, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah. She gets in the car and she flips open a wee phone, and I just remember going home and telling my mum, like, wow, the new Terminator movie, they've got you know, mobile phones, because in the original ones they didn't have mobile phones, right? So to see a Terminator movie that was updated where someone has a mobile phone, that I remember that really being like, what, this is insane.
Do you know how many films from that era would be completely different if they had mobile phones? Home Alone, mum, I'm still at the house. All right, Kev, we'll be back in a minute. Film fucking finished.
Well,
you know, the mobile phone thing has actually made films more boring, I think. Awesome. I think if the mobile phone thing hadn't happened, there'd still be more kind of realism to the mystery films. Or I could just be talking shite. But I think you know what I'm saying. But, yeah, well, I think we'll talk about this in a later episode of Jabber Jabber.
So in regards
we need to talk about Dark Fate. We've spoken about every other one so
far. Right. Well, let me get to that point then, Jordan. Because I'm going to go at you.
Fuck's sake! Honestly, man, listen to this guy.
How many times do you think you've sworn this episode?
I've been at work all day, so I've not been able to swear. So I'm going to guess quite a lot.
Just a wee bit.
It's okay. This is R-rated as a Terminator film should be.
Well, the Dark Fate was a 15.
Yes, that's R in America anyway.
Oh, well. So, in regards to Terminator Dark Fate, so one of the things that I really disliked about it, and this isn't even a spoiler, is the characters, the new set of characters. For me, like, in 10 years' time, will you still like, I can't even tell you the names of the characters. Like, who's the new John Connor woman?
Danny Ramos.
Right. Oh, well done, you. Right. And what was the augmented chick from Orange is the New Black? What was her name?
Grace.
Right.
Guess who enjoyed this more than Kevin?
The thing is, though, no one's going to go into a shop and pick up a doll and be like, right, there's Grace from Terminator, or what's Danny? Do you know what I mean? Like, when you think of Terminator movies, it's Terminator, Sarah, and John Connor, right? Mm-hmm. And that will always be Terminator. So when you look at this new one, I just don't see there being anything. The characters just didn't resonate with me. I don't think there's anything. Do you know what I mean? I just don't think in 10 years' time we won't remember them.
To be honest, I wouldn't disagree with that. If you asked me in 2 months' time if I could remember those characters' names, probably not.
Nah. But yeah, you always remember John and Sarah Connor from the first time you watched it, right?
Yeah. There's... I think when a franchise has been around for so long, you it doesn't matter how good the franchise is, you only ever remember really the original characters.
Mm-hmm.
If you think about let me think of a franchise that's just ridiculous. I was going to say the Fast and the Furious, but the Fast and the Furious got clever because they started adding bigger characters as it went on, which was a really clever move. Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
Name one actress or actor that was in that was in anything past a Nightmare on Elm Street 3.
You mean like? I don't get your question. Say it again.
So don't include Nightmare on Elm Street or Freddy's Revenge? Was that 2?
Freddy's Revenge was...
Was that way on?
No, that was way on.
I can't... Nightmare on Elm Street 2, and then you had 3, which was Dream Warriors.
Right.
Okay. Anything past that, name somebody that was in it.
No. I mean, you can name small actors here and there, but... You're right. There's just no.
You've got the original 1, 2, or maybe 3 films at a push where you remember mm-hmm. who are the main people that are involved in the entire universe and storyline. After that, it gets a bit hazy.
Yeah. Well, that's the same for this. It's not even that it's so hazy. I just thought if they're gonna take a sequel directly from Terminator 2 Judgment Day, I think they could have serviced the fans better. I mean, look how really well they CGI'd Sarah Connor and John Connor, like Edward Furlong and Linda Hamilton.
Yeah.
For that scene, right? And I just thought, you know, what would have been cooler is if we had more of that. Like, how many years has it been since we've seen that? And if you've got the ability to give us that back, probably going to want it a little bit longer in the movie, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think up until recently, the technology for that has only been so good that they could maybe only use it for a scene or two. But that, in this film, even you have to see who didn't enjoy the film, that was fucking fantastic.
That was amazing. I remember, like, the minute there's, which isn't a spoiler, there's obviously scenes with Sarah Connor and John Connor at the start of the movie, and they look just like they do in Terminator 2, Judgment Day. And I remember when Sarah Connor's sitting at that table and you see John, I just looked at you and was like, fucking what?
I know.
I was like, wow!
And I actually looked back, I was like, wow, that's impressive. I mean,
that is insane.
For every other kind of de-aging thing that we've seen so far, you can always kind of tell a little bit. I think I spoke, who did I speak to? It may have been on Jibber Jabber. Mm. At some point I mentioned about Tron.
It was about Tron. We were speaking...
Oh yeah, to Adam Whittle. Yeah. When I was speaking to Adam Whittle from the Microcast Korg podcast, I mentioned the de-aging thing they did with Jeff Bridges and that, and it was so in its infancy that to me it looked like, at the time I was like, whoa, they made Jeff Bridges look young. I look at it now, I'm like, whoa, it's like Toy Story.
Yeah, but they've done this amazingly, though.
If you look at the job they did with Sarah and John Connor on this, wow. If you look at the job they did with Arnold Schwarzenegger, Kevin?
I don't think it was that bad. I think you think it was worse than it was. I don't think it was rotten. They've done a better job with Arnold Schwarzenegger in Dark Fate than what they did in Salvation. So I would add credit to them in regards to how they've done it. And another thing, right? They sent back another T-800. It doesn't have to be exactly like the one that they... Because this is obviously later. So who's to say that their technology in regards to what they did with the skin hadn't changed, so I could accept that, right? Because not every T-800 is going to look exactly the same. Look at the difference between Arnie and Terminator to Terminator 2.
Well, I remember saying to you at the time, or just after the film, that I thought it might have been one of the rubber skin models that was mentioned in Terminator 1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how bad I thought it was.
I don't think it was that bad. What do you guys think?
Yeah, please let us know in the Jibber Jabber community page. Let us know what you think of it. If you've seen it, if you haven't seen it, then you're probably going to want to stop listening to this shortly because we're going to start spoiling the shit out of it. I think, honestly, now that I'm talking to you about it, I think it warrants a second viewing.
I'll send you a picture because someone on that page that I'm part of, on the Terminator Arnold Schwarzenegger fan group, on that page, people have been putting screenshots up. I mean, we will get to those comments very soon, guys. Your comment will be read and we will debate.
You mean people have been infringing on copyright?
No. Remember, this is a global page. I think it might be out on DVD somewhere else, but let's not throw anybody...
In China.
Yeah.
So, when it comes to Sarah and John, the de-aging thing was fantastic. The body doubles they got were perfect. Actually, John Connor, I could have sworn, might have been the kid from It. Bill.
Bill? Finn Wolfhard?
No, Bill, the main kid that grows up to be James McAvoy.
Right. I think so.
I remember when they were talking about making Terminator Dark Fate, he was one of the choices to play John Connor if they wanted the role to be bigger. And I remember looking at it going, that's perfect. That is actually perfect. Look at his build, his hair. The only thing he couldn't get, the only thing that boy would never get right was the attitude.
I suppose.
Eddie Furlong had an amazing bad attitude for Terminator 2.
Yeah, all acting, right?
It would have been zero fucking acting.
Do you know, it would have been actually amazing to even see Edward Furlong in the Terminator movie as an old, like, do you know, without going into too much in regards to spoilers. It would have been cool to see an adult Edward Furlong in some capacity in a Terminator movie at some point, do you not think? And I don't care that, oh, he might be out of shape, blah, blah, blah. Well, look at Arnie, he's old. Look at Linda, she's old. She's got a face like bloody pastry, right?
Mm.
We got them back. I mean, if we're going down the route of what's real and what's not, so what? He got older, he got a bit fatter. So what? Still John Connor. You don't have to be in shape to be John Connor.
Do you know what? There's the next movie. John Connor got so kind of bogged down with this pressure that he was under that he just became a big fat junkie.
Mm.
How's that?
Let's hope we don't have Edward Furlong on the bloody show now, right?
We've all seen the pictures where he looks like a single mother for Dundee.
Smashing. For those of you in America and all other parts of the world, Dundee is a place in Scotland, in the United Kingdom.
There's no crocodiles in it.
Yeah. So we're getting, we're halfway already, so we can happily say to you guys that we're going to start now talking in spoiler fashion. So if you guys have not seen the movie, maybe pause this show and come back to us after you've seen it, or don't.
Yep. And one more thing, if it's not been made clear at this point, I quite liked it and Kevin didn't.
It's not that I didn't, right? I just refused to go the other way. There's a part in the movie that really fuck, I don't know if you remember, but I turned to you and quite loud in the cinema went, well, this is fucking wank.
I don't know if you said wank, but there was definitely wank. Was it wank? There was definitely some kind of derogatory term used. And I remember being kind of frustrated because I was like, what are you talking about? But
no.
We spoke about it after. But anyway, so for those of you who don't want to listen anymore, here is the Terminator theme tune just to keep you guys happy and you can leave at this point. And for the rest of you who want to hear some spoilers, you can join us right after that music.
You stayed. You're here to hear the spoilers. Well, they're not spoilers because you have seen the movie. So, yes, John Connor gets blasted with a shotgun in the chest twice. Three times a lady. What the hell, man? I was like, oh, yeah, there's John. There's John. John, run. Run, John.
Yeah, John Connor dies right at the fucking start. That perfect de-aging CGI that we've seen was very short-lived. And not because of budget constraints. Clearly this fucking film had a lot of money thrown at it. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't mind it. I didn't mind the fact that, like, to me, had somebody not kind of told me beforehand what he thought was going to happen, I would have thought that would be an epic curveball to throw us, just to go, right, here's John Connor. And it's John Connor, as you all remember him from 1991. He's gone. He's dead.
Yeah. Rotten. Thing is, though, the thing about that, I don't mind the fact they killed John Connor if the movie lived up, right? Because it always was a question, what happens if a T-800 comes, kills John Connor? Then what happens to the T-800? By the way, my biggest fucking bone with that movie, it is the biggest question that's ever been for me in regards to the Terminator movies, is what would happen had they killed John Connor? Well, now you don't have to fucking wonder, right? Carl. I wouldn't have minded had the movie lived up to it, but I just felt they killed him for what? I mean, if there was a show of hands, who'd like to see us kill John Connor and completely replace everybody with people you'll just never give a shit about, or we can CGI John Connor for half the movie and bring back Edward Furlong and Sarah Connor for the rest of it? I think I know how many hands would be shown on each of those sides, what would you? Where would your hand place?
If they asked me beforehand what I'd prefer to see.
Yeah, like if James Cameron came in into a room and asked a room of 100 people, you know, like, right, you're going to make the decision. Would you rather see us kill John Connor and throw a couple of characters at you that you'll never give a fuck about? And to be, again, to me, I don't see us Danny. Nah.
Yeah.
Like, nah, what about her? There was nothing. There was nothing. I see, if she got shot in the face, I wouldn't even be like, I was like, all right, cool.
First of all, I think if James Cameron came into a room and said that, I think he would pitch it a little bit better. he would try and sell us the Danny Ramos character. Now, I do have my issues with that as well. But if he was to come into a room and ask that, I would say, yeah, keep John Connor alive.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I think is the cleverness of that decision. It just throws you a complete curveball straight away. You're like, fucking hell. This did not go the way I expected. So the
thing is, though, I'd have been fine with that if they gave us something else. But Danny, I mean, I don't know. They're just trying to cover all the stereotypes. She speaks in subtitles. No one gives a fuck.
she speaks in subtitles. That's funny.
It's like they're going down a wee clipboard. Check, check, check. What does she identify as? Oh, no, it's fine. We've got an augmented fucking human here, right? That ticks that box. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I actually... that was going to be my next point, was the fact that I actually liked Grace.
She was all right. She was probably the better character of the new ones. They've done with Linda Hamilton what they've done with Arnold Schwarzenegger, pretty much from Genesis onwards. They've made them the comedy act. They never made her a comedy act, but they made her, you know, just a side piece.
Side piece? That means something completely different.
Mate, I've got some badass deja vu right now, like.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't, so it never happened.
Dude, I've seen all of this.
Wow. There's a topic for another episode, eh?
Yeah. Mate, even this is creepy.
And this is when you say, dude, I knew you were going to say that.
Dude, I knew you were going to say that.
And I knew you were going to laugh at it.
Didn't see this coming, though. That is literally just my art. Yes. For those of you guys that are new to the Jibber Jabber podcast, which I'm aware there are some of you guys here listening to hear your comments. Yeah, this is us.
Yeah, see, what we do, right, what we do is we just be ourselves, which a lot of people seem to have trouble doing when they're in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
We like to be ourselves, but I have to say, we stay a little bit reserved sometimes. There's things we'd like to say that we don't say every now and again, just because we know that it'll probably end the podcast. Mm-hmm. So, you were saying about Danny Ramos and how she was... basically completely forgettable.
Yeah, I just don't see her. Like, if an artist came and was like, I'm making a Terminator comic book, Danny Ramos isn't in it. Grace, I could see that. I could see Grace, you know, maybe an origin. But Danny Ramos, like, why is she the saviour? Why? Because she pep-talks everyone. I just don't see it. And I don't like as well, I don't care, right? But the part in the movie where they're like, you know, Sarah's like, you're the chosen one. You're now John. You need to stay alive because your womb will birth the man that saves, you know, our future. And it's like, you not got a man. You don't give birth to a man that's gonna save us. You save us. It's like, all right, okay, because man. And yeah. Again, I don't even care that they're going all he-man, woman power, right? Don't give a fuck. But just before you fuck with the Terminator, just remember, it was always He-Man, woman power, motherfucker. You had her sitting right next to Danny. Her name was Sarah motherfucking Connor.
Yeah, that bit did irk me a little bit. There was no need for the man-hating spiel, especially with the fact that this film was made by a man. Do you know, like, you see a lot in films that are made by women now that there's some active man-hating going on. Mm-hmm. This film didn't need it. There was this film was always, since 1984, which is the best year in history, by the way, from 1984 onwards, Terminator has been about the female hero. The Terminator's been a backstory.
Yeah.
Although it's the title of the film, if they called the film Sarah Connor, they could have made the same movie and nobody would have even batted an eyelid. The Terminator just sounds cooler, right? So what you've got now is the point where we're at the point where man-hating is fashionable. So even big movie directors who make films like Deadpool, which is... I don't even know where to go with this. I mean, was there any need for that man-hating shite?
Nah.
There really wasn't. This is the one movie where if they had left that out, I think you would have liked it more.
I don't know, because I don't think that stuff offends me. I don't get offended by that stuff. I just think it's pathetic. It's stupid. Why?
Exactly.
It doesn't need it.
Exactly.
You put too much salt in the soup now. The soup was fucking cracking the way it was. And we're idolizing the female role fucking model, right? So when you see Sarah Connor come out of that wee Jeep, and you're like, yes, there she is. For the third time, finally, she's back on the screen as the badass. And this is the third evolution of her character, right? You got the first one where she's the damsel in distress who slowly became, you know, the Sarah Connor that we've seen in Terminator 2, right? And that's all you've really seen of her. She went from damsel in distress to badass mofo kicking ass. And then now you're seeing someone who she's lost within herself, and all she has is hatred for the machines, right? So she's a complete ass kicker. And then you got Danny, who pretty much goes through all that in like fucking 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Sarah Connor like 30 years, right?
Yeah. Do you know what I love about the Sarah Connor character is you see the moment she changes.
Mm-hmm.
She changes at the moment she kills the first Terminator. Remember that when she looks at Square 9 and goes, "You're Terminator, fucker."
Yes.
That's the moment where she became the Sarah Connor that came into Terminator 2. Right, now, what we've got with Danny Ramos, and by the way, I like how this is me speaking to somebody I actually quite enjoyed the film.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that annoyed me was the fact that they thought they were thrown as a curveball late on in the film when they found out that it was her that was going to be the saviour.
Seen that coming.
It's like, well, right at the start of the film, we've seen her standing up to her boss for bringing a machine in to replace her brother in the fucking factory. It's like, right, so she's the next person that's fighting against the machines.
Yes.
They telegraphed it. It's like if Mike Tyson's going to punch you, he's going to come straight at you. If he's going to come from way back here, and for those of you not watching, I'm miles back, and then swing away around the side, over the head, swing it around like fucking Popeye, and then try and hit you, you're going to fucking dodge it.
Yeah.
And that's what they did. They totally telegraphed the, not a twist, but the curveball they were going to throw us later in the film. And for me, that ruined it.
Mm-hmm.
I think if they'd left her in that kind of Terminator 1 Sarah Connor situation, where she was basically fucking useless until she pumped Kyle Reese and then she got fucking... and then all of a sudden she kind of gets some guts about her. Well, it was actually Kyle Reese that got some guts about him.
Oh, yes, lads.
Ultries, nuts and guts. There's some chauvinistic patter for you. Is that? I think if they'd done that, it might have worked a bit better. I do agree with you, the Danny Ramos character. Yeah, she's going to show up in computer games for the next 20 years and then she'll be fucking gone.
I don't even think she'll show up in the computer games, mate. I don't even think that'll happen. Even John Connor didn't show up in the computer games.
Oh, do you know what it is? Do you know what it is? I know fuck all about computer games. I know literally nothing about computer games.
I was, like I said, the whole John Connor dying thing, I would have been fine with it had they given us something meatier.
By the way, we are going to start talking about the T-800 character of Carl. We will talk about that soon, but we do have other things to talk about first. So...
Yes.
The character of Grace. Now, I liked Grace. And it surprised me. I didn't think I was going to like that character.
Mm.
basically because I thought it was another kind of what we were talking about earlier with the woman power thing that kind of went too far. I thought that she was going to be more of that. Basically, unfortunately, because of the way she looked, she's got that. She's built like Sarah Connor in Terminator 2.
The second one.
Yeah, she's got that kind of slim but muscular, kind of strong woman. But the short hair, kind of Justin Bieber look that she had going on. But as the film progressed, I found myself being more and more attracted to her.
That wasn't inevitable, Jordan, right?
No. Dude, every trailer I've seen so far, every bit of footage I've seen of that film beforehand, I was like, nah. Nah, nah. But as the film went on, I was like, I quite like this lady. and I did like her. I liked her. I liked the character. I liked the scarring that she had. That was cool. To show that she'd had these kind of Wolverine-esque implants.
Yeah, it was quite cool.
She was a bit of an X-Man, really.
Mm-hmm. She's augmented.
Yeah, she's an X-Man.
Yeah. What I also liked as well is the fact that, you know, previously, it's always been the Terminator, you know, the bad guy that has the upper hand, right? So what happens when a, you know, another machine comes back, like a T-800 was never as advanced as a T-1000, right? So you've got the Rev-9, which is just the most badass thing you've ever seen in any Terminator movie, right? And then you've got her. And her weakness, Grace's weakness, was the fact that she sometimes doesn't work right.
Did you not see a lot of Universal Soldier in Grace?
Yes, I did.
We never spoke about this at the time, and I think I only thought about it afterwards, but Grace is a Universal Soldier.
Yeah.
They could eat, mate, there's a fucking mashup waiting to happen.
Mm.
If they could mash those two universes together, we could have something really interesting. Grace is the first Universal Soldier.
Mm.
Look at it. I mean, when she gets weak, she's kind of feverish. She burns up. Mm-hmm. She sweats.
Yeah.
She needs water, and obviously they needed ice in the Universal Soldier movies.
Mm-hmm.
She's even got the syringes you inject. She gets better. This is all straight out Universal Soldier. And by the way, bordering on fucking plagiarism for Universal Soldier. Now that I think about it.
But how'd you get away with it? Make it a girl. No, Universal Soldier was a man. A horrible, evil man. We've got the nice girl soldiers. See, it's not the same.
Well, shout out to the Universal Soldier.
Absolutely. So we're gonna move further along the movie here now, right? Where the text messages are being sent for John, and they track down Carl. Carl.
Yes.
Right. This is the biggest issue I have with it, right? It's called Terminator, right? Terminator, the original Terminator. He's a badass. He's a Terminator, right? This goes to the first scene, right? The Terminator that shoots John in the chest. What does it do to Sarah Connor? Grabs her hair, stares at her, makes her do a backflip, right? The original Terminator would have just smashed her, would have killed her.
True.
Right?
Sorry, you're going to need to remind me how that scene unfolded again.
So the Terminator walks up and shoots John, at which point Sarah then goes, "No!" and starts shooting the Terminator in the back. And then he turns around, so he's already shot John, and he turns around and grabs her hair, pulls her down, stares at her, and then throws her as she does a backflip and lands on her face.
Yeah.
And then he shoots John one more time in the chest.
I think with the already shot John, so mission accomplished. So it didn't really need to terminate anybody else.
Thing is, though, it didn't say that John was terminated until he stared at him after. It wasn't like he shot him again after it. John wasn't dead.
He was pretty much dead. And I think these
it's machines, a Terminator we're talking about. They're not going to be like, oh, it's pretty much dead.
I know what you're saying.
Right? But you know exactly what I'm saying. The original Terminator would just say, I'll be back, and come back and smash a car through her, right? Like he did with the police station. And do you know what as well? Right, one thing, this is one of the things I actually loved about Dark Fate. In every Terminator movie, there's always an unnecessary death, right? In Terminator 2, it's the kid with the Pepsi as he's walking past, and he just gets shot between, like, the crossfire between the T-800 and the that's the one. There's always a few of them in every movie, and in this one it was fucking brilliant. The guy gets out of his car.
You were embarrassingly laughing out loud at that bit, and you would not fucking stop. Like, we all seen it coming, and then you just laughed like that. And you were the only fucking one.
Why is that? Why am I the only one that finds it?
Mate, it was just a sick fuck.
It was just the way. So the Rev 9 ends up under some random's car, and the guy gets it to be helpful and go under and see what's going on. At which point the Rev 9's like liquefied his way into the car and just drives over the dude. And it's just the way the car goes. Broom, broom. Fucking scotchy though. Right, you see, and here's another thing, right, which goes back to the whole Sarah Connor's hair getting pulled and Terminator staring her in the eye before throwing her down. The Rev 9 is from what's it called, the new Skynet, what they called again, Legion, right? So they're from the same place, right? Kind of Skynet and Legion, not so much different, right? So they send back an AI machine. So the Rev 9 runs over someone because it just doesn't care. It's in his way. Yeah? Yep. So why did the T-800 not do the same with Sarah? Why did they not terminate her? Yep. See?
I feel like a politician on BBC News at this point. I feel like you've just thrown me in a direction I wasn't expecting to go. So now I just need to waffle for a wee while to make it sound like I actually had something to say about the whole situation. But instead, have you ever wondered why dogs have cold noses? No, mate, I don't have anything to say about that. I'll need to think about it.
And another thing, Carl has a scar on his face, a very notable scar.
Have you actually said who Carl is?
We know who Carl is. He's the death of the bloody Terminator, man. Right, and here's another thing, right? So Terminator 2, we understand that in order to let the Terminator learn, you have to take the chip out and reset it. Yeah? Someone has to do that. Correct?
Yes.
Who done that for Carl?
Nobody, but Skynet became non-existent, so there was nobody controlling him. There was no... That's why that happened. Basically, after he completed his mission, and then the timeline changed, Skynet became nothing. So he was basically... can it almost conscious machine at that point? And this is where you and I started to disagree in the whole thing, even though we haven't spoken about it yet. But I think I know this is where we disagree. You fell out with Carl as soon as you seen him petting a dog.
No, I fell out with him as soon as I seen him cutting lime to put in the fucking Corona to hand to everybody. And then when he sat down and started petting a dog, I thought, get me the fuck out of this cinema. That is not the Terminator.
But the thing is, what you need to appreciate is how artificial intelligence actually is supposed to work. It's supposed to learn and adapt. And that's what that machine is. Once it loses that, I mean, that chip that's got the programming is programmed by Skynet. So once Skynet's gone, that chip doesn't really work anymore. But it's this whole time travel thing. Really, if Skynet was gone, the T-800 should be fucking gone. Not just the chip, not just that part of the programming. Mm-hmm. This is the suspension of disbelief. Or is it the suspension of belief? No, suspension of disbelief that you need to have with time travel movies is that things don't work the way that they really should work. What should have happened was as soon as Skynet didn't become a thing, then the T-800 shouldn't have been a thing. But because it was already sent back and it was already in the timeline, it mm-hmm. remains a thing, which is bullshit to start with. Mm-hmm. It's this alternate timelines, alternate realities, alternate universes. It gets so complicated and so up its own arse that you need to forgive it some kind of discrepancies. And one of the things is the fact that once that Terminator completed its mission, what it should have done probably is shut down, because there's no, it has no more function.
It has no server.
It has nothing. It's got its own built-in CPU, right? Central processing unit. I remember what that stands for. Jesus Christ. That shows you I went through school in the 90s, because I remember what CPU stands for. So it's got its own central processing unit, but once it killed, then its mission was complete. But just like Kyle Reese and just like Grace, it can't go back. So there, it's actually an interesting proposition. What happens to a successful Terminator? What happens to a Terminator that went back and actually completes its mission?
Because we ain't never seen that before.
We haven't. That's actually quite clever. Mm-hmm. We haven't actually seen a Terminator complete its fucking mission before. And this one did. So after that, essentially what should have happened in the ideal world is that it just flops down like a fucking accordion and just boom, it's done. But this one went on. Now, because it had no more commands to kill people, it stopped killing. And because it's got artificial intelligence built in it, it starts thinking. And it starts looking at how other people treat people. It starts looking at how people treat animals. It starts looking at... It's all these things. That's what all comes together to create this character of Carl, the drapery expert. And I think that you really need to sit down and think about it before saying it's fucking daft.
Yeah, I suppose.
I can totally get your knee-jerk reaction at the time. I totally understand it. And even I had to kind of take a step back from it and go, right, this seems kind of silly, but I'm going to stick with it. But I think I've actually just in this moment figured it out, and it's basically what I've just said.
Mate, do you know another really interesting part, which I loved, which was one of those moments where you turn to each other in cinema and go, yeah! It's when the Rev-9 falls through the barn, or the... You know, he gets knocked out of the airplane and he falls through the...
Yeah, he falls through the shed.
Right, and sing the song that's playing after you take a drink of your beer.
And it's guitars, Cadillacs, hillbilly music. And you just went, yes! And I went, yes!
We're like,
just that nice little callback.
Yeah.
Do you know the name of the singer that sang that song?
No, what's his name?
Oh, dude. His name is Dwight. It's the most American name you've ever heard. You ready? His name is Dwight Yoakam.
It was really nice to see that.
Guitars and Cadillacs. It's actually a really fucking good song. Get a chance, get it downloaded on Amazon Music.
Before we move over to the end of the show and start reading out the comments from the guys on the Terminator fan page, let's talk a wee bit about the Rev-9. We've not really mentioned much about the Rev-9.
Loved it.
It was like the most badass Terminator. I mean, see, if you're going to send something back to protect someone, that's the one.
Hey, exactly. If you want to send something back to kill something, that's the one. If you want to send something back to protect somebody, also the one.
However, though, I think it would be very hard. If you didn't create that, it would be very hard to reprogram something like that to protect someone. So that makes sense why it's never been sent back to protect.
Do you know what I loved was... It was the bit of footage that was actually in the trailer when it showed you the kind of the metal kind of rods kind of going into him when he was in the truck, and then he did that kind of T-1000 morph to be out on the front of the truck on the hood or the bonnet. Mm-hmm. I never noticed in the trailer that he left the exoskeleton inside driving the truck.
Yeah.
I did not notice that in the trailer. I don't know if they darkened it to make it less obvious.
Yeah, I think they did, because I never noticed that either.
Because I never noticed it, but when I seen it in the film, I was like, that is fucking awesome. So this thing, this Rev-9, actually has the ability to split into two separate enemies. Two separate fucking foe that you need to fight. And both of them are strong.
Like,
The Rev-9 is obviously the liquid metal thing. It can adapt. It can have knives shooting out its back and shit. But then you've still got the classic Terminator style. Just the exoskeleton. You've still got that to fight against.
It's missing half a head, though. What's that all about?
Maybe still look at that lassie whose knees went through her forehead when she crashed in the car. Remember that? But that was fantastic. I think the Rev 9 was very well thought out. It was a great enemy, a great adversary. It was 100 times better than the what was it called for Terminator 3? What was she?
She was the TX.
Yeah, that TX was T-shite. The T-1000 and the Rev 9, hands down, the most deadly enemy ever seen in the Terminator franchise.
Yeah, however, I think still, though, even in 10 years, 20 years, we will always still remember the T-1000 far greater than we'll ever remember the Rev 9. And that makes 100%. Sense, right?
Do you know why? It's because when the T-1000 came on the scene, it was absolutely groundbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
And this one isn't. It's still cool. It's still really well thought out. But
there's been like a dozen Transformer movies since Terminator, so it's not something we've never seen before, right?
Exactly. Shout out to the guy that played him, Gabriel Luna. He did a fucking really good job playing that character, because he was kind of silently menacing.
Yeah.
Like, you knew as soon as he went to visit Danny's dad at the start, you were like, oh shit, he fucking dead.
And that point as well, where I said, well, there's too many characters here, that brother's getting it. I turned to you and I was like, he's going to die very, very soon.
Yeah, but to make it more basic, he's going to die. Do you know why? Because he's a dude. He was a handsome guy. He was a handsome guy who was trying to make something of himself. Oh, yeah, kill him because he's a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a nice guy. He wasn't even an arsehole. That's the funny thing. Like normally when they kill off a guy character like that, at that point in the film, it's like, he's a dick anyway. He wasn't. He was actually a sound dude.
But he was all right, yeah.
Yeah, they just femaled the fuck out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But this is me. I'm saying this as a guy who actually enjoyed the film. And I think a lot of what Kevin didn't like about the film, I think he might be reconsidering at this point. I might be wrong.
Now that we've sat and chatted about it, you know, I'm prepared to give it another go, but I still feel very strong about going down the T3 route. So now we're going to get to the part where we talk about, you know, I'll read out this part. Yeah, yeah. It will be good. It will be good. So I've read these comments. You haven't, so this will be nice and fresh for you. But I'm going to credit the people from the Terminator fan page, the Arnold Schwarzenegger fan page. I've been part of this page for a long time. I actually love seeing people on it. You know, dressing up as Terminator and cosplay, showing us all the cool stuff from VHS videos to everything. It's just an all-round really good Terminator group. And you also are on it, J-Mac, I think, because I actually added you into it.
Oh, but thank you.
I asked everybody on there if they wouldn't mind telling us what they thought about the movie. So I'm just going to go ahead and start reading them out now. So there's a fella called J.J. Henry Henriksen. Nice name there. JJ says, I've seen everything else, but I'm out with this one. I've gave Terminator too many chances. I had to wait to hear what this one was like, and I was hopeful, but it sounds like yet another failed attempt to breathe new life into it.
Do you know what? I think I'm kind of at the point with this film where it's a bit like The Office. If you say you love it, I understand. I love it as well, or I like it. But if you say you hate it, I can't disagree with you, because everybody's got their own reasons for hating something that much.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that it needs a second viewing. I really think that anybody that really hates it on the first time, watch it again. And think about the things that I've said here. Like what's his name? His name was Henry. Henry, if you go and watch this film again based on what I've just said about the Carl character and stuff, look at it that way and see if you feel any differently about it. If you do, then please let us know, because that would be awesome. I would love to actually change somebody's mind on something. I would.
Yeah, well, there we have it. I mean, I don't know if JJ's actually seen it, but hopefully he goes and watches it and gives us what he thinks about that. So this other fella here called Craig Hay, says, film manages to spoil the perfect ending of Terminator 2 within a few minutes, disregards well-loved characters, and becomes another advertisement to convince us all that women can be strong like men. Majorly disappointed in the movie, I felt no real threat from the killer robots and felt like it was a forced PC Terminator movie. I would rank it last. Do you know what? It makes a good point there in regards to the And at no point did I feel, well, you guys are fucked from the you know, the Rev 9. So it does make a really valid point there. What do you think?
I think that the anti-masculinity thing we spoke about earlier, obviously, there is a certain amount of that in here, but it always had the strong female characters anyway. So it's one of these ones where has it just got stronger on that, or has it just went all 2019 on us and just shitting on men for the sake of it? And I think it's a mixture of both. I can't disagree with. I honestly can't disagree with what he said, but on the other hand, I kind of can, because the Terminator franchise has always been about Sarah Connor. Always. Yeah. Without Sarah Connor, Terminator franchise does not exist. Which tells me that's a pretty fucking strong female character.
Yeah.
So if you say that this is you try and say it's just a kind of PC version of what a Terminator film is, I can't 100% agree or disagree with you. I think there's more to be taken into account here. Love the comment. It's a hard one to argue against, but I do think there's definitely more to it than meets the eye on this one. I think that people do forget that. I mean, if you look at the Terminator, I'm looking at the Terminator poster right now because it's right in front of me. It's one of my favourite things I've got in this fucking room. I've got this huge Terminator poster on the door to this room, this studio, this garage. And the forefront of that poster is the actual Terminator. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger with his kind of 1984 hairdo with the big glasses and the gun with the laser. The Terminator's not the main character of that film. The main character in that film is Sarah Connor, and it always has been. So you can't say that it's completely a... Essentially what they're trying to say is this is a female reboot of the Terminator. It's fucking not. And it never has been. It's always been a female... sorry, I keep biting my fucking cheek because I bit it like 3-4 days ago and it keeps swelling up. It's always been a female-based story. Without Sarah Connor, the whole Terminator franchise does not exist. So the whole female empowerment thing, which I am 100% against... I'm not against female empowerment. I'm against I'm against them taking the piss out of films that have already been made. Like we spoke about it before, Ghostbusters. If you want to hear what I've got to say on Ghostbusters, listen to the episode. The Terminator has never been about the Terminator. Terminator has always been about Sarah Connor. And if you come in and go, ooh, it's female empowerment, it fucking always has been. It always has been. But thanks, Craig, for your comment.
So you disagree with Craig then?
100% disagree with Craig. And I never thought I would, because if you listen to any of our previous episodes, which you're welcome to do, I'm so fed up with the female reboot thing. In fact, I posted something earlier today about the Zorro. Zorro is getting a female reboot. What the actual fuckballs? Zorro is getting a female reboot. So is the Equalizer. The Equalizer's getting a fucking female reboot. And I'm pretty sure I saw something else today that was getting a female reboot. Yeah, Kung Fu. Kung Fu is getting a female reboot. You know what you just need? No. I don't have it. I have nothing else to say on this one. I'm starting to get annoyed.
Let's have a look then. So another comment here, and I think this will be the last comment, is from Dustin Loa. L-O-A. Sorry if I get your name wrong. I'm not great at this thing. So his comment, I think you'll like this one, J-Mac. So it says, T2, The Terminator, Dark Fate, Genesis, Rise of the Machines. Dark Fate is a worthy successor to Terminator 2, that hits the reset button and pisses off all its base because they can't seem to realise the absolute logic within the story itself and within the parameters of time travel itself. If you change the future necessarily changes. And Dark Fate explores how it changed for Sarah. It showed the changes that Sarah and John made, how they affected the future in the first two films. The death of John was necessary for the plot. What would the saviour of humanity do while waiting? While waiting to see if Judgment Day ever happened. Open a drapery company?
Do you know, I think that the as soon as you bring time travel into a story, you're opening up a huge can of worms, because any slight change, any slight variation is going to have catastrophic events on the timeline. What am I trying to say? Essentially, by this point, Sarah Connor probably would never have existed by the amount of changes that Skynet have made.
Mm.
And like, if Skynet really wanted to kill John Connor, they would have went and killed Sarah's fucking granda. Do you know what I mean? What we need to remember, and this is something that people seem to forget a lot, what we need to remember is that these are films, these are movies, these are things that are made to entertain us. And if everything was to play out in the exact kind of practically perfect way that anybody would think would actually work, we wouldn't have a fucking movie. What we need to do is put things, machines, people in situations where it's going to create the most entertainment for the people that are watching it. If just go back to Terminator 1, go back to the first one, and instead of setting it in 1984, set it in 1946. Send the machine back and kill our granddad. Situation solved. It's much easier to kill somebody's granddad than it is to kill a tenacious female when she's alive.
Especially when there's Kyle Reese there.
Yeah, it's not about practicality though. It's about entertainment. And this is something that you and I have spoken about a number of times, and I always come off as the arsehole, is that I can't just watch a film for entertainment value. I can't. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to Terminator, I'm willing to do it. Because I know that if I start looking too far into it, I'm just going to look like a fucking idiot. Or not an idiot. I'm going to look like an arsehole because I've overthought it. You can't overthink these things. If you overthink, you don't enjoy. And I 100% agree that this newest film has its flaws. It really does. It's got a lot of flaws. Do I think it was a necessary film to make? No. We could have left it at Terminator 2. I've said that since Terminator 3 came out.
Mm-hmm.
It should have been left. Unfortunately, the studios get in, they stick their fucking oar in, and they basically find the hottest director at the time and say, make a film about this. Okay. And they go and do it, because that's how they need to progress the career and that's how they make money.
Mm-hmm.
What we need to do is start letting films stand on their own again.
Yeah.
I watched a film last night that I was completely blown away by. It's never going to get a sequel. It's never going to get a prequel. And I'm happy about that, because the film stands in its own merit. And I think we need to get back to that point where we start appreciating every film for the artistic merit that it gives us at the time that it comes out. And none of this going back and looking at a film and saying, oh, that's not politically correct. No, that's not politically correct now.
Mm-hmm. What was the movie?
You Were Never Really Here.
Mm, I'll need to check it out.
Joaquin Phoenix.
Joaquin. Check that one out.
So, is that the last comment?
Yes, that's all we have there for comments, and that pretty much is the end of this show, which is was supposed to be a half hour little
little review on Dark Fate, but as you know, J-Mac and I never stick to what we write down.
It's part of the charm.
Absolutely. So yeah, so thanks very much for everybody tuning in and listening to this bonus episode. In return for us staying up so late and recording these episodes for us and for you, how about you go and subscribe? Maybe check us out on social media. We are everywhere: Facebook, Twitter. I mean, you're listening to this show right now. You know how to find us. You can go onto Apple Podcast, Spotify, everywhere. Just write in Jibber Jabber Podcast. You'll see us. Hit a subscribe if you give us a review, preferably on iTunes, Apple Podcasts. Ideally, it would be nice, even if you don't like it. If you don't like it, write it down. If you love it, write it down. We will read your reviews of our show out live on the show. Also, if you go to truffleshuffle.com and you order something, please send us in the receipt after you use our code JibJab15, and I will write a song, just like I did for Mel last week on the last episode, and I'll write a song for you on the ukulele. Jordan, anything to add on that?
Yeah, also, if you write a bad review, you'll also get a song. Don't expect it to be a fucking nice one, but you'll get one.
Well, can you... based on what I did for Mel, and she done something cool.
Imagine what's coming your way, motherfucker.
If you write a review on any platform for us and send it into us, if we don't see it, send it into us, and what we'll do is we'll read it out and maybe even write you a wee song, and we'll credit you, and you'll be part of this show. Hey, if you want to be part of this show, contact us, jibberjabberscotland@gmail.com. Spread the word. Even if one of you guys share this podcast with one of your friends, that really helps us out. And a friend at our podcast is a friend of ours.
That is very true. Thank you for listening. Thank you for continuing to listen. And thank you for being the best fans that any podcast could ever ask for.
And on that note,
I won't be back. I will not be back. Another fucking pet hate. Took away all the good catchphrases in Terminator Dark Fate. So, I won't be back.
So we won't be back. Thanks very much. Ciao, ciao, ciao.
Ciao, ciao.